If you're a visitor here today, come back again sometime when the preacher is preaching, who's the pastor of this church, and you won't have to listen to me again. Recently, we've had four deaths that have impacted a number of our people in the congregation. I'm sure you've been thinking about those who have gone to be with the Lord, those who are dead. But today I would like to think a little bit about you and your relationship to death. There is an interesting and perhaps the most important statement that is made about death in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, "O death, where is thy sting?" What he's doing in that phrase is taking death and making him some kind of a creature with a stinger, and he's addressing death itself and saying, "O death, where is your sting? And that's an interesting phrase because we have to understand what it means and how it refers to us. Now, the phrase itself is interesting because of the word stinger. Where is your sting? The Greek kentron, or sting. The reason Paul uses that phrase seems to be because on the road to Damascus when he was converted, the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and what he said was, "It's hard to kick against the goad." And the word goad is exactly the same word as the word here in 1 Corinthians that is translated sting, the kentron. The picture that Jesus gave when he said that to Paul on the road to Damascus was the picture of a herdsman who had a long stick with a pointed end to it. And he was using that to urge the cattle or whatever kind of beast he had there along the road where he wanted it to go. Every once in a while, that cow would get upset with that stinger, and stinging his leg a little bit, and he'd give it a kick. And then it would really go into him, and ooh. Thereafter, he was always afraid of that. Thereafter, there was fear of the kentron, the point, the sting. And that's what Paul's talking about here. In death, there is a fear of death. There's a sting to death. And we're going to have to see why he's saying that and what he means. The word kentron is used in the Bible and other places in Revelation, for example, in the 9th chapter where he's talking about those weird creatures that have stingers in their tails. And the word is used frequently of scorpions. I know about that personally. I was in Texas a number of years ago speaking, and they put me up in a farmhouse upstairs. And when I crawled into the bed, there was already a creature there before me that I didn't know was there. But it was a scorpion much larger than the scorpions that we have here. Remember, this is Texas. Everything in Texas is bigger. And it must have been about that size. And it let me have it on my leg. And for days thereafter, as it began to fade, it faded from a big spot that was like I had taken a hot frying pan and put it on my leg, and it was all red all over the leg, and it hurt. I'll tell you, I was afraid that this would happen again, so I shook all my socks out before putting them on. I looked in the shoes and tapped them out to make sure there was nothing in there, and went through my clothes and did everything I could to make sure that I didn't have to encounter this beast again with the stinger in his tail. Well, death is kind of like that, Paul says. He said it's like a stinger that we fear, something that can really get to us in a way that makes us shake all the socks and makes us watch out for all the clothing. We fear death. There's a lot of fear of death. For example, when people go to bed at night, sometimes they think, what would happen if I never awake in the morning? What would happen if this is my last sleep? And if they don't have some reason to think otherwise, during that time, they may have a hard time getting to sleep because of the fear that begins to flood their souls, and they begin to think, what is on the other side if I die tonight? Well, the Bible makes it very clear what's on the other side. We were born sinners, and it says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. God's going to judge us at death. It's interesting that it's appointed unto man once to die. There are a number of appointments that we can take in life, like an appointment with a dentist. We don't like to go to a dentist either. And we try to avoid it, and we can. We can call off the dentist appointment, and we can set another one for a different day if we want to. But this appointment with death is one that God has made, and we can't call it off. There's no way that we can make a different appointment. Whatever he has appointed is going to happen. And it's going to happen that time and that way and that place. Now, when we look at this verse a little bit closer, what it says is, O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is the law. What does that mean? The law is a sting that gives power to death to make us fear. Well, the law tells us what God requires of us. He requires that we honor him, that we put no other gods before him, that we love one another. And indeed, the two commandments about love sum up the whole law. Love one another, and to love God with all of our heart, body, soul, and strength. And the fact is that none of us has obeyed the law as we should. None of us is without sin. Indeed, we're born sinners. You know, we don't become sinners by sinning. We sin because we are born that way. Because of Adam, who was our representative and who ate the forbidden fruit thinking that he would become like God. And God cursed him and his posterity, of which you and I are a part, the human race. It's not a matter of somehow or other we become sinners by doing sinning after we're born. A child can die in the womb. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There's no way that a child would ever die before birth if he were not counted a sinner from birth, from his very conception, for that matter. So it's not a matter, as some people like to think, well, I won't worry about what my child believes. I'll let him grow up and decide on his own what he's going to do, whether he'll worship God or not. It's already settled that he's prejudiced against worshiping God by birth. That's already in the picture. It's not a matter of him deciding someplace along the way whether he's going to be a sinner who avoids God or not. He's already a person beginning his life in the wrong direction, walking on the wrong road, heading the wrong way, doing the wrong things, displeasing God. He's born that way. And it's only if some change takes place in his life later on that he can get off that road and get on the road that leads to eternal life. So, what he says is that the law is what gives death its power to frighten us, because we know someday we're going to have to face God. And he's going to say, well, here's your life. And the question is, what will he say about you at that time? Will he say that you are justified before him, that your sins have been forgiven, that you are a person who will enter into eternal life? Or will he judge you and say, depart, ye cursed, for everlasting damnation, as the scriptures teach? Two things have to happen if you're going to stand before that judgment and things will go the right way. First, somebody has to be interposed and take that sting upon himself. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He bore the guilt and the wrath of God that you and I deserve if we're believers. He's the one in whom the stinger came loose for those who believe. And that stinger will never enter into their lives, so that they need not have that fear. But it also means that someone also had to live the righteous life that God would accept in the stead of guilty sinners. And Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever lived a perfect life. But his life is counted to be yours if you trust him as your Savior. So not only does he take your punishment on the cross, but he gives you his life as though it were yours. And God judges you on the basis of your relationship to him. Now, if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no need to fear that Kentron any longer. That's what Paul's saying. In this great apostrophe, the word apostrophe has two meanings, not just that little comma that's raised up to the superscript of your to let you mush two words together like don't or isn't and so on. But the word apostrophe also means speaking to a non-material, non-living being as though it were living. And that's what Paul does. He transforms death into some kind of a creature and says, oh, death, where is your sting? And he goes on to say, it's gone in Jesus Christ. That God has swallowed death through him for the one who believes. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus Christ took upon himself the pain, the stinger that you and I deserve. O death, where is your sting? And God says to those who believe that to die is gain, is to be with me. It's to put off all the things that are hard to deal with today. It's to put off tears and crying and other pains and all the deterioration of the body. Once we come to know him as Savior and his coming and we are resurrected with new bodies like his body, no longer need we fear death. We look forward to it as a time when we're going to be new creatures in Christ. You know, what it says here is that not only death is gain, but that God counts us as living even when we're dead, before the resurrection of individuals. There were those Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection who came to Jesus Christ, and they told a stock story that was supposed to trip him up. But when it was over, he said, "Look, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God." He said, "God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of whom were dead by the time that Jesus was speaking those words, of course. But he said, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's not the God of the dead." Well, now, what does that mean? They're dead but not dead? Yes. The body dies, but the soul remains. God was still their God. The book of James makes it very clear. When James says that the body without the spirit is dead, the individual is composed of two different aspects, the physical and the non-physical, the body and the spirit or soul. And God calls those who are his own alive because their spirits are still alive. When Jesus said to his Father on that cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he meant he was going to be with God, and he is today. He sits on the throne and rules over this world, and someday will come and will put down all opposition to his rule. There's still plenty of opposition, as we all know, in the world we live. But it'll be the end of it when he returns. So to die is gain. And if it's gain, if it's being with God, if it's getting rid of tears and sorrow and heartache and all the things that plague us now, then we ought to look forward to death if we know Christ. If we can say to that beast with his stinger, "I'm not afraid of you anymore because that stinger came loose in Christ. It was embedded in him and put him to death in my stead." How wonderful that is that you can. Now, God tells us that we may have a full life now. Indeed, sometimes he even takes people in their early days in order to keep them from having to go through some of the sorrows and heartaches. Isaiah tells us about that. Sometimes we say it's terrible, he didn't live his full life. Actually, if God took a believer early on in his life, it might be, as he says, because he's trying to help this individual keep him from having the sorrows and heartaches that were down the road for the rest of us. So not every long life is necessarily a blessing. God talks about long life as a blessing, but also sometimes a very short life is a blessing, where a person doesn't have to face the sorrows and heartaches that others who go on living do. Believers have to understand that God's in control. He does it his way at his time, for his purposes and for your good. As we heard in the prayer today, that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. His purpose, what he has in mind, the way he sees that a person's life ought to play out. And so, can you say to death, "O death, where is your sting?" Can you look that creature in the eye and say those words truthfully? Then if you can't, today's the day to trust Christ as your Savior. Today's the day to say, "I recognize I was born a sinner. I recognize that I have worked out that sin in my life over the years. I am a sinner, but I need to have my sins forgiven. And I believe that Jesus Christ came to shed his blood on the cross, where he died, where that stinger killed him, and he was put to death for me. If you believe that with all your heart, trust in him, your sins will be forgiven, and you will have no need to fear death any longer. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to fear death. There are many people who are in bondage, the book of Hebrews says, all their life long to the fear of death. But you don't have to be in that bondage. It can be eliminated once and for all, right here today. If you put your trust in him, you can know that kind of peace when you lay your head on a pillow tonight. And know that if you were never to awaken in the morning in this world, you would awaken in a new world, a world that's far better than the world that you have now, and one that's going to even get better still when you get a new body at the resurrection of Christ. May God bless you. May you know Christ as your Savior. May you be able to say as you look this dreaded beast in the eye, oh, death, where's your sting? It's swallowed up in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We know that death has a sting for many people. We know that they have no way of saying to you, oh, Lord, I believe and I know that I'm saved and I'm looking forward to death. They fear death. We pray if there's anyone here who fears death and has never settled that message, that matter with you, that he will believe the message that Christ came to die for sinners if they trust him as the one who took their punishment for them. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.